Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
One, two, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. Five, six, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. Nine, hey. 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, home. We'll have some fun.
It is the Savage Nation. Michael Savage here live. I think I'm live. Some gold that I get on this trip. Bill Haley and the Comets, rock around the clock as he watched a dictatorship emerging now, where he's literally coming out of his chrysalis and showing his true nature. When I say he, I mean it in the imperial sense. We mean the mini-dictator that we have right now, mini-me Obama, soon becoming Papa Doc. Right now he's only Junior Doc Duvalier, doing one illegal, one unconstitutional move at a time with virtually no opposition. And this is, of course, how power is grabbed day after day. The biggest egregious event, from my point of view, was slashing the U.S. military, making us a paper tiger. And for the first time in U.S. history, yesterday, a president gave a press conference at the Pentagon. It's unprecedented. And when you look at the photograph of the so-called Joint Chiefs of Staff, what you see are yes men who are afraid of losing their positions. Not one of them had a word of opposition to the president who said, we will no longer be able to fight two wars. And he's going to slash the U.S. Marine Corps. Now, you understand that liberals have a particular vendetta against the U.S. Marines, and for good reason. A real vendetta against U.S. Marines. They hate them. And true to form, Obama, the stealthy man he is cutting the U.S. Marine Corps and cutting virtually every other aspect of the U.S. military. But look, let's not get off track here. We know what we're in for here. King Barack's power grab is how the New York Post put it, and I think that put it best. The man is out of control. The only other man who's out of control is Michael Savage. Look for Savage to challenge Rush for the streaming radio crown in 2012, says TalkStream Live. I don't know if you've seen the numbers. Well, I doubt it because no one sees this, but the new numbers came out at the end of 2011, and then my numbers went up 25% on the streaming radio world, in the streaming radio world, which is a big deal. And I think it's indicative of what people are doing, really. Michael Savage went up 25%. People you never heard of went way, way down. Hannity's in the I don't understand. I really don't know where they're coming from. Look at this. Lou Dobbs, 0.5. Casey the bartender. I mean, who? Lou Dobbs, 0.5%. Can you believe these people are in radio? He's below midnight trucking. Lou Dobbs, he had one little axe to grind, which is illegal immigration. He thought that would make a radio show. It's a tough business. You can't make a radio show out of hatred, nor can you be a one-shot pony. Look, if you have a voice like Groucho Marx's grandmother getting a hysterectomy in the 1700s without anesthesia, you can only last so long. And then when Rush Limbaugh leaves and he's no longer your lead-in, and all you've got left is a wall banger, it's not long before the hysteric is gone, too. That's all I can tell you. So what do you want to talk about? I got stories. I'm warming you up. Okay, let me tell you about my cold and how I'm treating it. No, I'll tell you about the bison killed by a dog off a leash in Golden Gate Park. A little buffalo, baby buffalo, was put in there in the pen with the other buffalo. They rescued it from some ranch in Sonoma County. And some rotten, stinking liberal entitlement case was walking her dogs off leash. One of the little rat dogs got underneath the fence, dug his way under, and killed a little bison, a little buffalo. Now, all right, so you eat buffalo, but I understand it's one thing to eat a buffalo. It's another thing to have an animal ripped apart by your little rotten dogs. I mean, she should be charged for that. Here's another story for you if you haven't heard it yet. A crook was caught in San Francisco. A burglar broke into a house. Woman calls cops. The fearless Fosdick San Francisco police go up there. They surround the guy, jumps over a wall down onto a hill, and they don't arrest him because they're afraid that one of the cops will get hurt, or worse yet, that the crook will get hurt in falling down the hill. So they put up a perimeter all night. Now think about what the overtime cost this loser city in police overtime. And as the morning rose over Telegraph Hill, the San Francisco Police Department called off their cordon around the crook and let him go. He said, "Leave me alone." And to comply with the needs of the illegal alien burglar, the cops left and the crook went, ran away. Here's another story. An illegal alien was let out of a hospital after 1 year of care in Fresno, California. He came here with a disastrously horrendous set of problems. He has the longest stay ever in the history of that hospital for this type of illness. 1 year in the hospital. He says he's going to go back to Mexico now, as though it's his choice, just go back and forth. Wait, it gets better. That same hospital said that they spent $100 million last year on illegal aliens, and this is what goes on in this country. Now, it gets even better. I went to a Mexican newspaper where they call California the frontier, the frontera, and they're boasting about the fact that over $15 billion was sent by Mexican illegal aliens to their relatives in Mexico last year. $15 billion, which is just about the budget deficit of the state of California. Remember, that money is tax-free. They're here getting free medication, free education, free housing in many cases, Section 8 housing. It's astounding, because if Mitt Romney were to say one word about what he would do to starve the illegals, to stop them from killing us like this, he could get elected, but he won't do it. You have a divided Republican Party, described by a newspaper as divided in this way. You've got three factions: old money versus social conservatives versus small government advocates. That about sums it up. You've got a divided Republican Party: old money versus social conservatives versus small government advocates. Now, if you were to say there's a divided Democrat Party, it would be harder to prove, but you have a divided Democrat Party as well. You've got the old left, that's the old communist left. You've got the new progressives, which is the new communist left. And then you have the long, massive union middle ground in the Democrat Party. And most of them don't get along with each other. But nevertheless, we'll focus today on the issues of the day. Starve a fever, feed a cold is my strategy for feeding my cold, which is, you don't realize this, but there is a way to treat a cold. Please don't call me with remedies. I wrote the book. I follow Linus Pauling's theory up to a point, and then I've added my own Yang theory. You remember the old adage in the 70s, starve a fever, feed a cold? I don't know who actually started that, but it actually works. Many of you are under the mistaken belief that you should eat very light when you have a very bad cold, like fruits and vegetables, a yin diet like that. I think it's all wrong. I follow the Mongolian theory, which is eat extremely heavy foods. For example, of course I'm taking grams of vitamin C and mega doses of other nutrients, which I don't want to bore you with. But my energy only went up when I went to an Indian buffet for lunch. And instead of eating the lean tandoori chicken, I ate the greasy lamb. I couldn't stop eating it. I looked like a gardener. You know how I said the gardeners go in this? The gardeners go to this all-you-can-eat takeout place, this Indian place. And the poor Indians, the Punjabis are being driven broke by them. They found that they come in with the hose and the leaf blowers outside, and they figure all-you-can-eat. So they eat all, and the plate looks like there was a killing in the restaurant. I mean, another person eats a plate or two. These poor guys figure, if you're stupid enough to charge me $8.95 for all you can eat, I'll make it look like there was a mass grave left in the restaurant. It's like 3 feet of bones on the plates. So, I mean, truthfully, I'm normally embarrassed to do it. I kept eating the lamb. I never felt better. That's why I say starve a fever, feed a cold is a really good theory. Now, of course, in America, we have an adage that matches it, but I don't think many of you will understand it, which is President Obama's theory of the taxpayer, which would be starve a feeder and feed a yold. 1-800-449-8255 is 12 stories I just gave you to open with. Bison killed by little dog off leash in Golden Gate Park. Illegal alien spends 1 year in the hospital, $100 million in charity care to illegals. 3, burglar let to go on Telegraph Hill in San Francisco. 4, Michael Savage surges to, goes up 25% as a streaming talk radio show. Beck collapsed to 9.3, I'm at 13.5. I'm really closing on Rush. You know what the editor said? Listen to the bottom here. Blah, blah, blah. The Savage Nation continues to surge, grew audience 25% in fourth quarter. And then it says, where is this now? It says, oh, Hannity fell in, off the charts here. It says Savage may challenge Rush for the crown in 2011. Now, once this Ron Paul fervor is over, a lot of these Quicksilver ratings will disappear. It says, soon we'll see if the latter year surge of Savage will suffice for the number two ranking for 2011. Beck held down that ranking for the first two quarters. Blah, blah, blah. Nuri and Henry Moon, T.S. Elton. So there it is. There's the story. Many people don't understand what I'm talking about, but there's a lot of, you know, 47% of people listen to radio, not on the radio. They listen to it on a device. How is that possible? I mean, I love radio stations. They're my favorite. Don't call me about recess appointments. Please kill that call. I'm not doing it. I'm not talking about Gingrich. I'm not talking about Hannity. I mean, I don't even know who's running. Is it Hannity versus, is Hannity running for office? I don't know anymore. I'm confused by it all. I could care less. I'm sick of it. I don't want to hear any more about another Caucasian caucus coming up in New Hampshire. Don't tell me about 16 crackers on welfare in a trailer park in New Hampshire and what they think. I'm sick of it. I still feel like a slave looking inside the master's window, watching the white folk vote over there in Iowa. I'm sick of it. And the Republicans are committing Harry Caray, as I've said, for about 6 months now. The more they attack each other, the better it is for one person only, and that's Papa Doc Duvalier. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, love, love, darling, come and go with me. Don't let me way beyond the sea. I need you, darling, so come go with me.
I wasn't going to go on the air. I'm still under the weather. But the thing is, look, you need me, so I figure I need you. It's a symbiotic relationship. And the fact of the matter is, after all of that lamb I ate at the Indian restaurant, I feel much better. And how much can you lay in bed when you got a cold? It's awful. I watched so much television yesterday, my eyes were killing me. I became like a child. I watched movie after movie. Me and Teddy were in bed. It's not bad, you know. It isn't a bad way to just regress once in a while, let yourself go. Why do you have to be productive? What a society. Even when you're sick, you have to produce something. I didn't do enough for my life, 26 books, a daily radio show. What am I trying to prove? Nothing. Nothing. I've hit all my goals in life to a certain extent. I'm laying in bed lately, and I'm thinking, what am I driving myself for? What am I trying to prove? What do I have to prove anymore? I've done more than any 10 men that I know of. The 10 men I know of never achieved what I have. I'm not boasting. I'm telling you that the reality is there. Two master's degrees, PhD, four different careers, all successful. Nice family. What should I do now? What am I supposed to do now? Now I'm supposed to fund something, build a hospital. You know, I've been thinking about that. You can't even give money away. You can't. Listen to how big. You know, this is a symptom of what's wrong with big government, so to speak. Let's say it was the 50s and you had extra money. You could give money to a nunnery, and the nunneries had orphanages, and they took care of orphans, and you know that the money would go for the orphans. There's no such thing anymore. It's all gone. Today, the money must be funneled through a state or a federal bureaucracy so that the grifters can take some of the vig off the top. They want to be the disperser of all charity in this country. Do you understand that? Do you understand that they all want to stock these places with government workers, big pensions, big retirements? And you can't, as an individual, there's very little money you could give away anymore that really goes to anybody. Oh, there's a lot of people with their hands out in these fake animal organizations and fake this organization. You take a look at their salaries, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 a year for what? How much of it actually gets down to the ground? Very little. So, you know, it's very heartbreaking. It's very upsetting in reality. Here's an article for you. Colorado woman allegedly punches and urinates near $30 million painting. I'm not making this up. A Colorado woman was arrested after allegedly pulling down her pants and punching a $30 million painting before urinating against it. Carmen Tisch, T-I-S-C-H. That's an interesting, Carmen Tisch. Tisch is a big name in New York City. I don't think she's related to that, to the Tisch family. She doesn't look like it with the tattoos all over her neck and chest. She was drunk when she attacked a 9'5" artwork entitled, blah, blah, blah. She pulled her pants down in the Clifford Still Museum and leaned against the iconic painting before punching it. She then slid down the artwork and urinated on herself. Well, she's born to work in the Obama administration. Perfect. She can go for the What department do they have where she could be on? Or she could go on The View. She could get a job on The View for this kind of behavior. She fit right in with the women on The View. Why is this painting worth $30 million? I mean, I'm an art lover. Who is this guy? Who is this artist for $30 million? What is this, still on oil? A Clifford still oil on canvas? I never heard of this guy. There's so many artists that you never hear of. It looks like a Rorschach test. You could see almost why she got deranged looking at it. She probably thought she was in a psychiatric ward. Who is this artist? Well, whatever. You can't see it, so it doesn't. Clifford Still from North Dakota was one of the leading figures of abstract expressionism in the 20th century. That's interesting. All right. Well, you could buy paintings, I guess. I wouldn't $20 million for that. Hey, did you see what Tiger Woods' ex-wife did to her house in Palm Beach? I found an article this morning. I put it up on michaelsavage.com. Oh, does she hate him? Wow. So she has this gorgeous house on the ocean in Palm Beach, right? Very Cape Cod, goes forever. She bulldozes the house. She has the whole house razed to the ground. Not a piece of lumber is left. The house was perfect. She says it's not big enough for herself and her family, the ex-nanny. She was a nanny. Did you know that she was the nanny? She did pretty good for herself. The Norwegians do very well here for some reason. Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah, sure, I do yours. Yeah, sure, I do your shirts. Yeah, sure, you're coming back. Can I do your shirts? I do you. Sure, I do you. And the next thing you know, that's it. The golfer's ruined. And she knocked a $12 million house. Driven people. Are you calling this show for any reason? You're not upset over anything I told you? Nothing got to you? I gave you 12 stories, not the $100 million for illegal aliens. An illegal alien bum gets free care for a year. You try to get free care for a year. Or your father fought in World War II or Vietnam. See if he can get free care. But if you come from Mexico, oh, yeah. They sent home $15 billion of your money to Mexico last year. Now, let me ask you something. Why do you think states are going broke? Because it's tax-free money, schmuck. Why are they able to send $15 billion in remittances to Mexico? Why? Why? Because you're paying for hospitalization. You're paying legal. You're paying Section 8 housing. What else? Maybe some free cell phones and free cars.
I ran all the way.
Ellen Norgren, Tiger Woods' ex-wife. I mean, she knocks down a $12 million house in Palm Beach. It was a gorgeous house, saying it wasn't big enough. You talk about getting even with this guy. I love he says he regrets with all of my heart of his transgressions, and he'll deal with his personal life behind closed doors. That means with more women. Deal with his personal life. Next, I'm going to hear about his demons. I love that. What demons? The guy enjoyed what he was doing. Anything with a pulse, as they say. What demons? What demons? Did what he wanted to do. The guy had not steak at home. He had the best of the best. Wasn't good enough for him. He had to go look for hamburger. He got to look for Chuck. So she knocks the house down. Yeah, sure. I did him. He did me. I did. She's doing him pretty good right now. He don't care. He don't care. Idiot. Some men are like that. They can't control their impulses. Like about 99% of men are that way. But this guy was brazen. Remember when this first happened, how correct I am about everything? Do you remember when, listen to this, remember when this first happened with Tiger Woods and Ellen Norgren? She was seen with a golf club bashing in the rear window of her SUV, right? And the newspaper, the schmucks who tell you Obama's not a dictator, who lie to you about everything, every day of the week, these idiots in the news business, they reported that she was trying to get him out of the SUV. He was trapped in there. You hear? To me, I just use common sense. It looks like she was chasing him in a rage. She was in a Norwegian or Swedish rage, and she went to bash the window in and pull him out of the car through the. He was running away from her. Hell hath no fury as a woman spurned, especially one like this, me. But she's doing real good today. Was she a nanny, I heard, originally? Yeah. His nanny or who? No, someone else's nanny, whatever. Why am I talking about that instead of something important like Romney? Why? If I have to even say Gingrich or Romney, I'll get sick. I can't do it anymore. It's over. You're not hearing me talk about it anymore. Anything but that. Starve a feeder, feed a old. Starve a fever, feed a cold. You want me to hear play a John McCain clip? It'll sound like old man radio, John McCain. Oh, great. This is like the kiss of death. John McCain endorses Mitt Romney. That's a great endorsement. That's just what he needed right now. from John McCain to Mitt Romney with love. You know, that's unbelievable. That's what you could. It's like the kiss of death when he gives him an endorsement. Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Oh, please don't even mention her name to me. I have strong feelings about that that human being down in Florida, Wasserman Schultz. First of all, anyone with a hyphenated last name is a phony. Even the English don't use it anymore. Now, to add to that, an American with a hyphenated last name, it shows you what insecurity they have, what kind of problem she must have with a hyphenated last name. What would you like me to talk about? I don't know. I'm not in the mood to even do radio. I'm in the mood to do radio, not politics. That's what I mean to say. I know what you want, family stories, the boat, the dog. Bored of it. Look at Caterpillar stock. It went up. I have none, 0.67. Caterpillar Inc. You still have money in the stock market? Toyota, plus 0.17. Ford Motor, plus 3%. Good for them. Kia Motors, 0% up. TM, Toyota Motor. I would have thought that a lot of people shorted the Japanese auto stocks after the tsunami. Remember that, guys? Oh, they made a fortune. Everything's legal in the world of money. And then you wind up at St. Bart's for New Year's Eve at Soros' private beach in the Russian billionaire's house. That's how you get to the top, ask parties in Hollywood. That's the theorem. Or you produce the worst films in the history of the world, and you wind up at the top of the heap. Movies that debase America, debase everything valuable in the country. Can Gingrich please go away? Is there any chance Gingrich can just show the decency to just simply disappear and go away? Can he stop already? It's unbelievable to me what an evil, mean man he is showing himself to be. I heard he's back. I heard the 999 guy is back. He was on the wall banger, that's what they say. Airwaves. Savage says, here's what America will look like if Obama wins. Oh! Matt ran an article of mine written, in December. Here's what America will look like if Obama wins. Son of Russian immigrant envisioned something worse than Euro-socialism. If Barack Obama wins in 2012, America is headed for something worse than a failing European-style socialist state. Top-rated radio host Michael Savage said his nationally syndicated show today. I have to tell you that if this man, God forbid, is the next president of the United States, we're going to be living in something along the lines of people say Europe. I don't believe it's going to be like Europe. I think it'll be closer to Chavez's South American dictatorship, he told his Savage Nation audience. Recalling his background as the son of an immigrant from Russia who has been around a while and seen a number of administrations, Savage said that if he had one message to leave, it would be a warning about what he fears is on the horizon. Quote, this is the most corrupt, incompetent, dangerous, tyrannical administration in American history, he declared. It's not politics as usual. It's not just Democrats versus Republicans, Savage said. Obama, he said, is not a Democrat, noting the president's history of ties to Marxists and other radicals documented in his book, Trickle Up Poverty. Obama has a long history of being at odds with American values and with America itself and the core principles of this country, Savage said. Savage pointed to media as one of the areas in which step by step, degree by degree, we're losing our freedom. They don't want government-sponsored opinions, he said. They only want government-sponsored Pravda. Pravda, which ironically means truth in Russian, he noted, was the official Communist Party newspaper in the old Soviet Union. That's exactly what the government media complex tells you on a daily basis. Nothing but the government media complex party line. All right, well, I'm going to ask you if you agree with me. If you agree with me, what is this, all these stories about me? Oh, on the right, Soldiers Defense gets another $50,000 from Savage listeners. Awful, those stories. I don't give any more to soldiers. No more. I've given up. I have my own problems. That's it. No more giving. Let someone give me. Can only do so much. That's all. No, I don't want a Gulfstream. No, I don't want a Challenger 300. I don't want anything. I don't want anything. Really, all I want is my family's health and my health at this point. What do I need? Do you need anything? What do you really want in life at this point? Has the world changed where... It's an intriguing question. Has America changed where the gargantuan trophies of yesteryear are still what you want? The Rolls Royce, the Ferrari, the G500 or the newest model, the G650, I think, is coming out, where it can fly further and we can go to Russia nonstop. What is it? Tell me what it all means at the end of the day. What's it for? To show off? I don't want to make anything. It's like, good luck to you if you really want all of that. Why do you want all of that? It reminds me of a story. Let me tell you this. I'm just musing today. Yeah. Consider this an offbeat show that's not really meaningful. Not as important as talking about Gingrich, Paul, and Romney. Okay? Or the caucuses, the Caucasian caucuses. Years ago, I heard this story when I was young and trying to, like, figure things out. I think a lot about when I was 18, 19, and I really didn't know very much, and I was groping to try to figure out life, and I didn't know who to copy and who to follow. I used to read a lot of biographies. I always read the biographies of great men, none of whom have I ever come near being like, but I used to read them anyway. Tolstoy, you name it. But the fact of the matter is, I read an awful lot of biographies trying to mold myself to some extent. I mean, where are you going to get my role models from? Well, then you think back. I mean, my own family, my father, my uncles, some teachers, a local doctor, they were all role models in some ways because the men were much stronger figures in my day. And they upheld a certain standard. Today, I don't know where the standards for boys come from, but that's a separate story. So I remember hearing a story, which I've already forgotten. It must be the cold already clicked in because the 16 cylinders are normally like silk smooth. I'm running on about 15 cylinders today. Beowulf, where was I going with the story? I got off track. All right, whatever. No one remembers. I was rambling on and on. I said I was going to. Okay, whatever. I really don't know what I was talking, where I was going with that story. Does anyone have any idea where my mind was going? I was going to tell you something about, I was coming up. Nah, it doesn't really matter. People will listen if I read the phone book. Ron Paul, here, I'll get the Q factor going. Ron Paul doesn't see himself as president. Play the crackpot and clip 8 to keep the Ron Paul nuts listening. Go ahead, play clip 8.
When you lay your head down on the pillow at night, you see yourself in the Oval Office?
Not really, but I think it's a possibility.
All right, that's enough already. That's all I can take. He doesn't see himself in an Oval Office. He sees himself in a padded cell. After this is over, President Obama sidesteps Senate appoints Richard Cordray as consumer chief. That's a big story, but it's boring. Sure, he's a mini dictator stepping around Congress. So let them impeach him instead of complaining. You know, we have another party. He's bypassing the Republicans. He's doing exactly what he said shouldn't be done. So let them impeach him. That's all. He's cutting the military down to the bone. Again, not a word from any of the generals there, because they're all looking out for their own behinds. Yes, listen to clip 20. This is Obama. Our military will be leaner. Listen to this.
So yes, our military will be leaner, but the world must know the United States is going to maintain our military superiority with armed forces that are agile.
You know what? He can't even say the word. He can't even lie anymore. He'd stumble on the word superiority. You got to understand, this guy hates the U.S. military. He has a vendetta to destroy the military. That's all he wants to do. And with the kind of leadership that we don't have in politics and the lack of leadership we have in the military because they've all been culled out, they've been thrown out of the military if one of them showed any signs of testosterone. They're just like Romney. The entire leadership in the U.S. military may as well be Mitt Romney. I'm telling you, that's what it looks like to me. When have you seen a vociferous guy like never mind a Patton, a MacArthur. Nobody. Don't exist. They're all get-along, go-along kind of corporate guys. They'll do whatever the president says without a word, without a peep out of them. Now, you're saying, well, what would you do about the fact that we're broke and we can't afford the military? Well, that's an intriguing question. Number one, what you got to do is cut back on the medical care for the entire family of every military person. It's medical care that is killing this country. There's an entitlement mentality about what you are entitled to from a government or from a union that is out of touch with reality. Nobody has ever been afforded this level of care in the history of the world because nobody can afford this. This entitlement for medical care pharmaceuticals is what's killing not only the country, but killing the military. That's what I believe. And I want to talk about pensions for a minute because, you know, right now it's very popular to bash public employee pensions. And I'm all for it, but not with regard to cops. I thought about it in great detail. And, you know, you say, well, we can't afford these pensions for cops. I would separate out the police pensions. I would certainly crack down on the corrupt police who spend the last few months of the last year building up their pension with a fake illness. I would crack down on that. I wouldn't cut police pensions. I'll tell you why. If you ever looked at the weaponry that the thugs, the gangbangers, are carrying in the streets of this country, if you ever looked at the fact that they outgun our police, you've got subhuman morons in the streets of these cities with submachine guns, 223s that could penetrate a police car, and our poor police are running around with a 40 caliber handgun with maybe 12 or 14 shots in it. You've got gangbangers boasting that the police are running away from them because they outgun them. And you're telling me the police are not entitled to their pensions? You are wrong. Why don't you strap on a police uniform one day and take a ride through one of these neighborhoods? Because you've got a war going on in the streets of America. And frankly, we need more than police. We need the U.S. military in the streets of America to seize the guns of the gangbangers. You heard me. Seize the guns of the gangbangers. Because the police are getting knocked off like flies. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So Obama has gutted the U.S. military with his new defense budget. For the first time in U.S. history, a president spoke, gave a press conference at the press conference, at the Defense Department, at the Pentagon, rather. First time in history, because he knows what he just did. His new defense budget has gutted the U.S. military's ability to fight two conventional wars at once. We are no longer the nation that we were when this imposter seized power with help from the media and from foreign sources of bundlers of money. And to add fuel to the fire, the man had the nerve to say that the tide of war is receding. Okay, so he withdrew the troops from Iraq, and the bombs are going off again. What has he actually done to constrain Iran? Nothing. What has he done to constrain North Korea? Nothing. What has he done to contain China's maneuvers with a new navy? Nothing. Instead, he's cutting weapon system, and he's using his front man, Leon Panetta, totally unqualified to be a defense secretary. The man has absolutely no background in anything except budget cutting, and that's why he put him in here. It's amazing to me that this is going on. Now, of course, one Republican said one word about it. Mitt Romney railed against the defense spending cuts, and he said that he would restore the money to the Pentagon. But you got to remember, the left wing has long desired to destroy the U.S. military. Long. This is nothing new. Obama's a radical of the highest order. He is appeasing his radical base. Now I'm going to throw something else at you that you're not going to believe. If this man should, God forbid, be reelected, and it's probable he might be, given what Gingrich is doing to Romney. And Romney, of course, is a liberal Republican. We understand that. We understand we're going to get another McCain. We're going to get a Rhino. But when it comes to national defense and national security, I trust Romney more than I do Obama. Nevertheless, having said that, there's something you really should be very worried about. Now that Obama is showing his dictatorial tendencies in a more marked fashion, now that Obama has the guts to stand up and rip the guts out of the U.S. military, there's one area that the liberal has not yet shown his true intents, and that's because it's an election year, and that is eliminating the Second Amendment. They will come for your guns. If Obama gets reelected, the likelihood of them seizing your home defense weapons, I would say, not only goes up, but it goes up markedly. This has been a stellar desire of the left in this country ever since the Second Amendment was written. Now you say, well, wouldn't it be better to have fewer guns in the hands of Americans? Well, it depends upon which Americans you mean. Gangbangers, they have no right to weapons. So there you could use the military to take the weapons away from them. They're outgunning the police. Illegal aliens are not allowed to have weapons. So start with those who have weapons who shouldn't have them. As far as the right to protect yourself, this cuts across all races. This cuts across all party affiliations. Most Americans like to have a gun in their house. Most sane Americans who are not gunophobes. This, of course, excludes the gunophobics who live in Manhattan and Austin, Texas, and San Francisco, who are afraid of guns, mainly because they're suicidal and they're afraid they'll either hurt themselves or someone in their family. I'm not joking. I'm somewhat sarcastic, but you'll find that the greatest fear of guns occurs in mentally unstable people who are terrified that if they picked up a gun, they would either shoot themselves or a member of their family, and that's because they're unstable. Think of Woody Allen with a .45 caliber pistol in his hand. When you think liberal with a gun, try to figure a Woody Allen-like figure, trying to figure out how to load, cock, and fire a .45. Now you understand what the liberal fears about guns. It's themselves that they fear. But the average American is not afraid of guns. Now, I don't want to turn it into a gun show. I will tell you that if the Democrats have their way and they trick you into voting for them and putting the Marxists back in office, they will then work on taking your guns away. If they could destroy an entire military, why couldn't they take away your guns? Think about what I just said. If they could gut the military, if they could deball the military, if they could take us from a country that could fight on two fronts at once, and not a peep comes out of the media, why couldn't he seize your guns? Who's going to stop him? That's all. I mean, what more do you want me to say about it? I'm going to get more excited than I am already? I can't. I'm not going to just do it for effect. The fact of the matter is, he is getting away with every dream of the radical left one step at a time. So what's the question? I think I'm going to ask you lifestyle questions. And that is, what would you... Oh, no, he's not back. Herman Cain hits the road to promote 999 tax plan. The Cain train may be stuck in the station, but now Cain is on the move again with a bus tour. See, there's another guy who can't go away quietly and peacefully. He was just a talk show host. I liked the guy. You know, he sounded like a talk show host. I gave him his run for a run. I let him enjoy himself. It's time for him to go home, write the book, and try to get back on radio. What is this already? Okay, nobody would elect him. Unbelievable. Gunfire erupted as anti-drug police served a search warrant in an Ogden neighborhood. One officer wounded, five other police injured. The guns in the hands of the gangbangers are out of control.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. I play old rock and roll because it reminds me of a time in America when the chrome was thick and the women were straight. I'm a product of my time, I admit it. I can't say I'm overly proud of it. I'm not unproud of it. But the fact is, I am what I am. I'm a product of my time. Whether I'm in step with the progressives or the psychosis, if you want to put it to you that way, to me, the progressive psychosis is one and the same, or the word progressive, the way it is used to express the political views of so many on the left, really represents a social psychosis when you consider the damage it's done to this country and will do in the ways that we've talked about on the show on a regular basis for all of these years. Only it's gotten categorically worse under the naked communist in the White House, Barack Hussein Obama, as I pointed out, in trickle-up poverty. Certainly, more people are poorer today than were poor when he took office. You can blame Bush only so far. And as I point out in a new book coming out in March or April, Trickle Down Tyranny, clever title, but unfortunately not that clever because it's true. Be clever if it wasn't true, but it's startlingly true because it's happening in front of your eyes. Not only is the man bypassing Congress on a regular basis and getting away with it, but now the man has reshaped the U.S. military in a way that we may never be able to recover from. This is a big step. Something happened yesterday that has never happened before in American history. A president went to the Pentagon and gave a press conference. Now, you have to ask yourself, why would he do this? It's an unprecedented step. There used to be a separation between the executive and the military, and that's why they didn't do this. But you see, he's sending signals every step of the way that he's no longer afraid of these paper tigers in the military. He's telling his radical leftist, the Bill Ayers crowd, that not only is he not intimidated by these paper tigers with the stripes on their uniforms and the big hats with the badges and whatever. Not only is he not intimidated, he dares to go into the lion's den and tell them to go to hell, and he's cutting the military in half. That's what that was about. Quite symbolic, don't you think? Now, at the same time this is going on, we see freak shows on a daily basis. Here's a story. I'm going to do this in a delicate manner because I have nothing against this person. I think that Chair Bono's child, Chaz, my headline is Only in America, Chaz Saves Money to Buy a Male Part. It's unbelievable to me. This is a girl who wants to be a boy, says Chaz to buy his manhood. Chaz Bono is saving his pennies to purchase a penis. The only child of Sonny and Cher plans on adding the equipment as soon as his budget allows it. Bono-born Chastity is already receiving testosterone injections and had his breast surgically removed after his 40th birthday. Call me a product of my time. I would say doctors who perform this kind of surgery are violating the Hippocratic Oath and should be arrested. I think psychiatrists who convince people to do this to themselves should be disbarred. Call me old-fashioned. You're gay, you're gay. But you don't mutilate yourself. You feel that way, then become gay. You don't have to mutilate yourself, do you? Do you have to go to that extent and mutilate your body and tell yourself that that's the normal thing to do? Saving his pennies to purchase a penis. There's plenty of extra ones around in the Republican Party that aren't being used. You want me to be very blunt? I mean, he wouldn't have to look too far if he's looking for one at a cut-rate price. Okay, well, we've had our fun now. We've gone burlesque. Now we've gone to the burlesque level, because if I stick too much on one level, you're not going to want to hear it. So I got to get burlesque once in a while. So there I went burlesque for you. 1-800-449-8255. So the holidays are over. We lived through another Christmas, another New Year's. It's over. Could you believe it came and went so fast already? No snow, nothing. Like dry, like the Rockies are dry. One of my relatives was in Denver and in Aspen, zero. Here in San Francisco, the snowpack up in the Sierra Nevada. Pretty amazing. All right, so the global warming fanatics get their licks in now. Of course, when you had a phenomenal winter, they were silent. I'm surprised Al Corleone hasn't come out to give a proclamation. Here's my headline, my horoscope, Aries. By Sally Brompton. You will find yourself caught up in some sort of feud today. And being a pugnacious Aries, you will probably quite enjoy it. Just watch out you don't make a powerful enemy. You have got nothing to prove. Watch out you don't make a powerful enemy. Again, another enemy. How to Make Enemies and Lose Your Friends by Michael Savage. That should be my last book. How to Make Enemies and Lose Your Friends. Do you really need friends? I mean, really, does anyone have friends out there? I have no friends. All I do is want something from you anyway. What's a friend? It'd be nice, I guess, if you're 9 years old, you have a gang with, you know, corduroy pants running around in the Bronx. That was the last time I really had friends. You had a pack together in order to defend yourself. But when you get older, you realize it's basically you and your family. There's nobody else. Gigi Park baby buys on found dead. I told you that story already. Grateful Dead member opening restaurant. Oh, that should be great. Just what you want. You want to buy food from a junkie. Yeah, I can't wait to go in there and see a waiter who's asleep standing there, like nodding out on me. Grateful Dead is opening a restaurant of music in San Rafael. I can't wait to go there and have somebody drooling on my food, not even understanding what I'm ordering. That should be exciting. According to Rolling Stone and Patch, the Grateful Dead's Phil Esch is finally moving forward in his long-sought Bay Area restaurant name, blah, 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 going to be located in Canal. Right now, the plan is to open during the spring. Oh, my goodness. Another restaurant. I wish him well. I don't know the man. I give it 3 months. I would give it 3 months. The toughest business in the world is the restaurant business. I have friends in the business. Nothing harder in the universe. Aside from the fact that you got to keep the food quality up and you got to keep up the service, then you got to have the decor. People, what are they going in there for? To see an old guitar player? People have said to me, Mike, come in, read business with me, put your name on a business, call it the radio this, you'll sit at a table. What for? Then I have to be there every night shaking hands like Jack Dempsey, like Jack Dempsey in the window. People would come to say hello to me. I appreciate it when I go out in the city sometimes, although I don't go out much anymore. I told you, it's not a feud. I just don't go out anymore. If you're looking for me in a certain Italian restaurant in San Francisco, don't look too hard because you're not going to find me there. Nothing against them. Still like the place, still like the food. I just don't go there anymore. I don't go. There's too many big liberals from the city eating there. It's too much for me. I could do without eating there when Nancy Pelosi's eating at a nearby table. Somehow it just doesn't do anything for my pasta appetite. And I go to a little place really nearby. No one ever heard of it. Ah, the food is amazing. I got a place in San Francisco. I'm not going to tell you about it. I was in there the other day. It was amazing what the guy made for me. Petrolli sole with a Sicilian sauce. It's not on the menu. He said, well, what do you like? I said, well, you know what I like, garlic. I like that. He said, let me make you a pie. I said, I'm only sauce. I didn't know what he's talking about. I said, what is it? He said, taste it. He made me a sauce. He said, I'm treating you like a prince tonight. Gave me a big table, sat there. It was wonderful. Then a crowd came in already. He started pushing the chair from behind. I felt like I was in coach on Delta. The place was empty when I sat down. Then a table of eight sat down next to me, and the oaf had to push the chair into my back. What is with people? An empty restaurant. The oaf had to bang his thigh against my chair while I'm eating. I muttered to myself. I pushed my table forward and muttered. I said, wherever you go in the world, there's going to be an AH, you know it, or an oaf. They make believe they don't see, like a seat on Delta on the way to Florida. You know what I'm saying? They got to hit the back of the chair. I lost my appetite immediately. So you know what? That's what the kitchen was invented for. What next? You saw the one about the bison. This bothers me, the following story. Telegraph thief gets away. I want to show you how far the San Francisco Police Department has fallen. A burglary suspect who dodged police by spending almost 30 hours perched on a 200-foot cliff on San Francisco's Telegraph Hill escaped after police officers left the area Wednesday night. So the guy is breaking into a house. She calls the police. The suspect runs away. The building manager chases the suspect. The suspect hops over a wall leading to a cliff above Chestnut Street. All of a sudden, the SFPD sends a tax squad and the city's so-called hostage negotiator. I don't have to tell you what that means in San Francisco. They probably offer to buy him a free meal. Trying to coach him to safety. You hear? Not come out with your hands up and we'll blow your butt to heaven. Please come out because it'll be much more safe for you. But he refused help and said he wasn't coming down. A resident says he heard the man yelling to police, go away, leave me alone. 7 p.m. Wednesday evening, the SFP said that their attempts to apprehend the man could endanger the suspect and the officers, so they went home. They went home, and the suspect left. That's San Francisco's police department today under this psychotic administration that we have. That's really some police work. I don't understand this. They trapped the burglar, and they let him go. And you wonder why people have no faith in any of our institutions whatsoever? I know the police have a rough job in this crazed liberal Nancy Pelosi-esque city. I understand that. But this one is beyond the pale. You got a burglary suspect trapped and you're worried about his safety. Why? Because some psychotic lawyer is going to sue the department if he slips off the hill? Okay, I rest my case. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Back to the Savage Nation, where it's always 1957. You know, for many years, I thought about this. Being one of the seniors in talk radio, I've been around a long time. I realize it now. I hate to say it, but on the other hand, I'm going to hide it. What do I got to hide? That I've written 25 books and I have a successful show. So a lot of guys like try to pretend that they're cool and they're with the young crowd. Why? What do they got something to offer me?
Well, the young crowd knows what's going on. The young crowd knows where this country was and where it's going. The young crowd knows anything. They're children. They don't know anything. They're brainwashed. They were raised on medication and on illegal drugs and raised on television and raised on the computer. They haven't any idea what this country was, what it was founded upon, and what it could become again. So what, I have to hide what I know? That's why I tell you I'm not going to hide what I know. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think is going on. I'm going to tell you exactly what has to be done. And I'm going to tell you that if Romney doesn't stop playing like a schmuck, like a rhino, he's going to lose. And we're finished. Because Obama is getting gutsier by the day. He's showing he's brazen now. He goes into the Defense Department yesterday, first time in American history that a president gives a press conference from the Pentagon. Never happened before. So far as I know, it's unprecedented. Why? What was the signal to the radical Bill Ayers crowd that elected this radical to the White House? See, they were complaining that he's intimidated, that he's not comfortable around the military. That's what they're complaining to him. You look frightened to them. So now he's found his bearings. Now he's found his guts. So he says to him, I'll show you how not frightened I am. I'll be Daniel in the lion's den. I'll go into the Pentagon, and I'll show you that none of them will say a word to me when I say I'm cutting the military in half. No, you're not going to fight two wars on two fronts. We're going to become a weak paper tiger like Portugal. We're going to cut this military until we're no bigger than Great Britain. That's what we're going to do. So we have more money for social programs, more money for union corruption, more money for pensions, more money for Medicare, Medicaid, until we're eventually hollowed out as a military force in the world. You say, well, why does that matter to the average person? Well, right now, it may not matter at all. Truthfully, right now, it doesn't matter at all. But what if? It's like an insurance policy. Do you really need an insurance policy when you drive a car? No, you need it when you need it, right? Most of the time, you don't need it, but then you need it. See, if the military were used properly, I don't think we'd have the complaints that we have about the waste in the military. The problem is, what percentage of the military budget is being spent on non-military line items? How much of the military budget is being spent on medical care for dependent children or medical care for distant family members, which to me is an outrage? What does a member of the armed forces have to do with me supporting some distant relative's medical care? Why? Why are they entitled to that? How did that ever happen? They should not be entitled to medical care at my expense. That's what I think. So you want to start cutting line items? Start there. Let's make it real simple. As far as military pay goes, I would raise the pay for every combat veteran. I'd reduce the pay for every deadbeat sitting in an office somewhere, padding his own, feathering his own nest. What, because they wear a uniform, they're a hero? I love that. It's like saying everyone in the military is a hero. That's not true. What percent of the military is actually combat ready? Very small percentage. So take a guess what Obama's cutting. He's not cutting any of the medical part. He's cutting the U.S. Marines. He's cutting some of our most advanced weapon systems. Did you hear what I said? Now, why do the liberals hate the U.S. Marines more than any other branch of service? A, because it's the most white. It's the most threatening branch of the U.S. military. It's the one branch of the military that they're terrified of, the U.S. Marines. So they're targeted by the Panetta, Obama, left-wing, fanatical crowd. You'd think somebody else would say this. No, but I have to point it out to you. The only one who said anything about it is Romney, by the way. Gingrich is spending as much of his time as he can attacking Romney. Gingrich is a disgrace to America for what he is doing. Gingrich has gone off the reservation. Gingrich is obviously, in my opinion, will we ever see the truth in this, working for the Obama administration in a distant manner. He will be rewarded handsomely once Obama rewins, with contracts in ways we could never imagine. That's the only explanation for why this man is so in doing the work, for example, of the opposition party. This would go across. This is something anybody could understand in virtually any country. For him to be spending all of his time doing this, you know what I'm saying? I'm not doing badly for a guy with a flu. Let me tell you that. I came in today because I wanted to come in today. I had enough already laying in bed watching television for a day. I got it beaten back with 5 to 10 grams of vitamin C and massive doses of Indian food, mainly gooey fatty lamb.
Savage.
wake up and I scratch my head and say, how could this be happening? It's as though we've been invaded by a foreign force who has penetrated every aspect of our our government, our military, and they're gutting the country, taking it apart, brick by brick, timber by timber, piece by piece. Now the man has the audacity to cut defense spending, saying we're not going to fight two wars at the same time, which has been a mandate since World War II. The Pentagon goes along with it because they're all like Romney. They're cutting the U.S. Marine Corps because it's the last vestige of the real warrior class in this military. The rest have been deballed, gutted, PC'd, out of existence. They're afraid of their own shadows. It was Jimmy Carter, by the way, who took guns out of the hands of our troops in their own barracks. You know, this has never been told in enough detail. Remember the old Fort Hood massacre where the Muslim major Nidal Hassan went on a rampage and killed 13 and injured 35 or so people? Did you ask yourself why the troops couldn't fight back? It's because Jimmy Carter passed a law saying that soldiers cannot have weapons in their barracks. Why would Jimmy Carter have done that? A military man without a weapon? Because he was afraid of an insurrection. He knew he was such a communist, undermining president. He feared a revolution from the military. So he took guns away from the military. As a result, there was a mass slaughter. And by the way, how come Major Nidal Hassan has not yet been tried by Obama? Remember, this is the greatest slaughter in U.S. military history on a military base. Why is Nidal Hassan, why has he not been tried? Why has he not been brought to trial? Because Obama wants to hush up the fact that a Muslim went insane in the military and conducted a mass slaughter. So now the very same man who is conducting this wholesale surgery on the U.S. military, because this has been a long goal of the Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein wing of the left wing. It's something you would have read in a Bill Ayers playbook. The SDS would have called for this. Every radical anti-American group has wanted an Obama for their entire life, and now they have one. So now he goes inside the military, and he does exactly what they've wanted. The USA has turned the page, and the Pentagon under Leon Panetta goes along with it because Leon Panetta is nothing but a yes man. The United States is turning the page in a decade of war, President Barack Obama said, as he unveiled a major strategic review that will cut $489 billion in defense spending over the next 10 years. She said, well, who needs it? We don't need all of that money. Well, now we don't need it. Then why is China building up its military? Why is China building aircraft carriers? Why are they all building as many missiles as they can, as fast as they can? And why is Obama destroying the military as our potential adversaries are building theirs up? The biggest thing that Obama has done for the military is make certain that it's safe for gays. That was his greatest single gift to the radical left. Think of how many hundreds of millions of dollars are going to be wasted on so-called diversity training. Instead of teaching our soldiers how to fight, they're teaching them how to get along with everybody. That's what the military has come to. The entire planet is hanging in the balance. Because of this man, the whole world is basically destabilized because of this man's deranged leftist views of the world. You hear about the Arab Spring. It's all turned into the Arab winter that I predicted. I was the only one in the media to say to you that as bad as Mubarak was, he will be seen as Santa Claus compared to what's coming. Was I wrong? Take a look at Libya. Take a look at Libya. Hillary Clinton boasted, we came, we saw, he died. We killed Gaddafi. Bad guy, right? Well, are the Islamists going to be better or are they going to be worse? Everywhere you turn, what these deranged liberals have foisted upon the world is a disaster. They have destabilized the entire Arab Crescent with their nostrum, their lies, their delusions about a so-called Arab Spring, where only a strong man could keep these maniacs in control. That's the truth of the matter. That's the truth of the matter. They're not ready for democracy. They don't know what the word means. You need an education to be a citizen of a democracy. That's why we're losing ours. Because so many people have been led into this country from third world countries where they don't even have the basic understanding of what a democracy is or what it should be. Which is why we have the demagogues that we have now in the political structure. Mainly on the Democrat side. And then we have lambs on the other side, on the Republican side, only interested in feathering their own nests. So you have a Republican Party that's somewhat divided into three. You've got the small government fanatics, I would say represented by the Ron Paul people. You've got the social conservatives represented by God knows who, maybe Rick Santorum. And then you've got the old money people represented by Romney. So you have a divided Republican Party, which in a way is a good thing, because at least you see three distinct factions. And on the other side, what do you have? On the Democrat side, you have an old left, you have a new left, and then you have the large, large class of unions and public employees who vote Democrat. And throw into that mix illegal aliens who are also voting because they will not permit states to pass a voter ID law which would prevent illegal aliens from voting or people from Brooklyn voting three times, once in Brooklyn, once in Delray Beach, Florida, and once anywhere else they might travel for the holidays. So there it is, starve a feeder, feed a yold, a divided Republican Party, the AMA theme song by the Five Statins. Did we play the Five Statins yet in the still of the night? In the still of the night by the Five Statins? I like to, the Five Satins, right? The Five, I changed it to the Five Statins, Statins. So the U.S. is now preparing to deploy troops where? And where are the troops going to come from since we're cutting the military? Now, I believe Europe should start financing its own protection. I frankly am tired of subsidizing the security of Europe, and I totally agree that we should get our troops out of Germany, incidentally. I don't know what we're doing in Germany, do you? I mean, just take them out of Germany. Put them on the border with Mexico. How would that work for you? How would that work for you? What are they doing in Germany? Does the Soviet Union really pose a threat to Europe today? Are you crazy? What are they still there for, like it's the Cold War? That's a boondoggle. There's no need for U.S. military presence in Germany whatsoever. So you want to start saving money? Bring them home from Germany. So why did the Pentagon, why does the brass in the military not say a word when Obama says he's cutting the ability to fight two wars? Because their nests are still being feathered. Every aspect of their future is tied into the existing system. Not the ability to fight wars, but the concept of all of these boondoggles going on all around the globe in the name of national security. Why shouldn't Australia and New Zealand defend themselves? We have supplied a blank. We have provided a blanket security for Europe. We've protected freedom in South Korea. We've helped Japan to rebuild. And now we have become the basket case of the world. We're a major trade partner with Canada. Why are we defending Canada? Why don't they build up their military? They're rolling in money. Why in the hell does the United States have to defend all of these countries? Why? Why don't they defend themselves? Okay, 1-800-449-8255. The man is doing a great deal of harm to this country on a daily basis. It's not the tide of war that is receding. It's the tide of America per se that is receding. The whole concept of this country as a nation is receding. The entire concept of pride in this nation is receding. I'm reluctant to read you a line from my next book, Trickle Down Tyranny, because it's too many months out, but I will tell it to you. I'll paraphrase my own word. I don't have it in front of me. I don't want to butcher my words. So I'm going to just take a call now. I'm going to search for the exact opening line to my book, Trickle Down Tyranny, which is coming out from Harper's in April. And you will see exactly what I'm talking about. It's something about honor. And I say a country can lose a war and rebuild itself. It can rebuild its military. But once a nation's honor is lost, it can never be rebuilt. And I am telling you that this man is destroying our honor. Can anyone listening to this show truthfully say that this man has increased respect for America around the world? Can anyone listening to this show actually say that Obama has taken pride in this nation and its people and its achievements? I don't believe that's true. Not at all. Las Vegas, Lloyd, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I'm calling in regard to one of your first topics, which was the illegal alien being held in the hospital for a year.
Oh, yes. He stayed a whole year with a little illness, one whole year in a Fresno hospital that spent $100 million on charity cases last year, mainly Mexicans who are getting free primary care in hospitals.
Yeah, well, I'm a doctor. I'm telling you that most hospitals have a policy that if you go to emergency room, whether you're an American or whatever, legally they have to take care of you. Otherwise, yes, they'd be liable for suit. But
that's the lawyers, right? The lawyers who should be disbarred and deported, as far as I'm concerned. Those greedy vultures.
No, no. What I'm saying is that they have to release you immediately. If an American went in there and was sick, they have to release you after the what's taken care of immediately. They can't keep you for all that time.
Of course not. But an illegal alien, they kept for a year.
So that I don't understand. I think what I think is the hospitals now should ask for some kind of form of citizenship papers, green cards, something.
Absolutely. I have said that in the state of California, where we have a governor who pretends he doesn't know why we're broke, we're $15 to $25 billion in a deficit, primarily because of the bleeding by the illegal aliens who are getting free medical, free health care. And this governor makes believe he should take it out of the hide of the taxpayer. It's an outrage. All he's got to do is put California Highway Patrolmen in every state, in every hospital. And if you don't have citizenship, take a walk. If it's a catastrophic emergency, okay, we'll treat you. But don't bring your child in with a runny nose at 18 relatives sitting in an emergency room and then demand the translators there. I've seen it. I've been in emergency rooms. Every hospital in the country should have a state trooper there. And if you don't have citizenship, we're not treating you unless it's a catastrophic emergency. You want to straighten out the economies of the states and the nation? Go ahead. Start with that. Here's an article from CNN even. Doctors going broke. Doctors in America are harboring an embarrassing secret. Many of them are going broke. This quiet reality, which is spreading nationwide, is claiming a wide range of casualties, including family physicians, cardiologists, and oncologists. The trend is worrisome. Half of all doctors in the nation operate a private practice. So why is it happening? Well, you can pretty much figure it out. Shrinking insurance reimbursements, changing federal regulations, rising business and drug costs, many, many other reasons. It's not because the doctors are not doing a good job. They also have to treat illegal aliens for free. They also have to give people on Medicare as much treatment as they wish. No matter what the doctor thinks, you've got cranks coming back over and over and over again for free medical care because it's there. Now, there's recent steep 35 to 40% cuts in Medicare reimbursements for key cardiovascular services, such as stress tests and echocardiograms. That's taking a toll on revenue. So they can't do a lot of the procedures, and these cuts are hurting cardiologists, of course. But there are other reasons. It's not just the Medicare cuts that are the biggest factor. It's that private insurers are now following Medicare rates. And so the reimbursements for the service that the doctors are providing are actually going down as well. So now it's going to get worse under Obamacare. The impending 27% Medicare pay cut for doctors that, if it goes through, will turn this into the Soviet Union. I remember in the 1950s, when I was considering what career to follow, the doctor was considered a prime profession in America. It was doctor, it was lawyer, it was dentist. That was the totem pole. Let's say amongst the group I was in, no one ever heard of a writer, or no one ever heard of a talk show host or a plant explorer. But anyway, it was doctor, lawyer, dentist. Okay, so we know where that took us. But in those days, there were great standards to become a doctor or a lawyer. And then the floodgates were broken in the 1960s in many different ways. They forced medical schools to take unqualified candidates. They forced law schools to take unqualified applicants. And this is still going on. The last bastion of excellence in the schools is in engineering. And right now, I have a story up on michaelsavage.com, which I meant to get to, where a minority student is screaming that there are not enough minorities at the University of California, Berkeley School of Engineering. He says there are too many Asians and too many whites in engineering. Now, if you don't understand where this is going to lead, then I have no reason to speak with you any further. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So yes, our military will be leaner, but the world must know the United States is going to maintain our military superiority with armed forces that are agile, flexible, and ready for the full range of contingencies and threats.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
It's frightening to see this and to see the Stooges there standing behind him, the so-called Joint Chiefs of Staff. No one, not a word of objection, nothing. By the way, in my last story about doctors going broke, I should have added the number one factor are the greedy, nightmarish, disgusting lawyers who are suing doctors and the malpractice insurance. The costs of malpractice insurance are so extraordinary, they're driving the doctors into the poorhouse. So of all the professions, the worst is the legal profession, particularly the people in the tort profession, which is nothing but criminality. And if we had a sane country, tort law would be revised across the land. Bush, to his credit, tried to do this, but he was stopped by the vermin in the ABA, the American Bar Association, which is just basically a guild of crooks. A guild of crooks with law degrees is the American Bar Association. The worst vermin in the entire society are lawyers in the American Bar Association. They do not want tort reform because they like destroying doctors and hospitals. They like false claims against businesses. They like people suing each other and robbing businesses of everything that they're worth. They like producing no product and taking a profit anyway. In other words, they love being what they are. So when you read a story about doctors going broke, never forget that it's the lawyers who are doing it to them. New York, Cameron on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Doc. I was compelled to call when I heard you observe that senior talk radio hosts are by far the more valuable, and that's why you are at the top of the list, really. When you figure in to the evaluations, the time of day that you're on, how late this is on the East Coast. We get you
right
live 6 to 9 in New York, and
right,
even in the central time zone. You don't know what us middle-aged white men go through to listen to you.
Understand that as well. And you consider all of that, the show is still that big, which means there's a big listenership. But, you know, Cameron, look, here's the point without blowing my own horn. You know, with all due respect to others in the business, Rush has been married, what, four times?
Three.
Gingrich has been married three or four times. Are they kidding? Are they joking? If a talk show host, and I'm sorry to tell you, has not been married and has not raised children, I'm sorry, they can't declare themselves to be of any value to the conservative listener. That's all I can say to you. I put my cards on the table. That is something you should be very proud of. You should be very proud of the fact if you've been married and you raised children. You should take great pride in that. Now, I don't see how anybody can listen to anybody in radio talks about family values when they have no family. I don't understand that. It's all an act. That's how I see it. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. King Barak's power grab. Don't miss that story. I know it's what everybody has been hearing all day long. New York Post says Obama yesterday played a violent game of kickball with the U.S. Constitution, making a number of high-level recess appointments, even though the Senate isn't actually in recess. So this is what's going on. The naked dictatorship of Barack Obama is being exposed. This is not the first time that Obama has sidestepped Congress. His aggressiveness is just escalating right now. The reason that we have an imperial presidency that is being that is showing itself for the imperial presidency that it is because the opposition has cut the legs out of itself with this endless campaign, with this nonsensical caucus system, and especially with the viciousness of Newt Gingrich. That's why Obama is daring to show his naked imperiousness. All this and more in the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
What's the latest news, huh? Well, MichaelSavage.com has it all. Top right, TalkStream Live. That's the industry standard for those who listen to this show on the internet. And the headline is, look for Savage to challenge Rush for the streaming radio crown in 2012. My numbers have gone up 25%. So thank you, listeners. From the New York Post, King Barack's power grab. From Fox News, Obama to slash military, rendering the U.S. a paper tiger. These are all my headlines. Obama boasts about his dictatorship. He says, I have an obligation as president to do what I can without Congress. Sounds very much like any dictator I've ever read about. Taliban leaders at Gitmo to be released in peace talks deal. Obama's Chevy Volt, among worst product flops of the year. Call it the Chevy Dolt. Is there another Kennedy entering politics? God forbid. 14 suspects in gang rape of Texas girl appear in court. It's a case that has divided and horrified their southeast Texas town. Why? Well, may I say why? A dozen men, sexual assaults, an 11-year-old South Texas girl. 11 of the men appeared in state court Thursday. In Iraq, explosions in Shiite areas of Baghdad killed 27. Now that the troops have left, they're at it again. Pelosi bends immigration rules for gay couple. Chamber of Commerce might sue over Obama appointment. And at University of California at Berkeley, my alma mater, blacks say there are too many Asians and whites at the engineering school. He says, we can no longer tolerate the inaction of the college. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, do it based on your brains instead of a threat of a lawsuit, buddy. What, do you have something against too many Asians and whites being engineers? Eyes on Virginia as state weighs voter ID law. Can't have that. Libya could slide into civil war. No kidding. Michael Savage says Paul and Gingrich destroying Republican brand. That's an old story. Free Savage Nation newsletter offers all things Savage. Murder is my business. You have to look at these startling black and white images of 1940s New York crime scenes from the photographer of the day named Ouija. Amazingly shocking. Also on Michael Savage, off-duty cop wearing Rangers jersey beaten by Flyers fans. He was beaten almost to death because he wore the wrong jersey to a ball game. Only in America, Chaz Bono saves his money to buy a male appendage. Unused, let's put it that way. I bet he could buy a good used, a good used one at a discount in certain quarters of the Republican Party. Mystery as heating and doorbells and showers stop working in a village near a top-secret military base. All that and more on MichaelSavage.com. Let me read you something I really enjoyed writing. Shall I read you from Abuse of Power? Yes, page 275, dog show. So he goes to the dog show. Jack had been to the Cow Palace many times in his life. A large indoor arena, the palace had been lost over the years to the San Francisco Warriors. Host over the years, the San Jose Sharks, numerous rock concerts, wrestling events, two Republican national conventions, and a number of livestock exhibitions, including the Horse and Stock Show and the Grand National Rodeo. I'm talking about the Cow Palace in San Francisco. And he remembers going there when he was a child to a watch and clock exhibition, right? So he's going to a dog show, and he is looking for the senator. And I actually went to this dog show last year while I was writing it, and this comes directly from my visit, okay? When they entered, Jack and Sarah were guided by an usher toward a section of the arena floor. On the floor itself, men in blazers and women in conservative suits led dogs on leashes around a cordoned-off area as the judges carefully eyeballed them and the audience applauded. This was an all-breed conformation show, and there were a variety of purebreds in competition, including poodles, Irish wolfhounds, Boykin Spaniels, German wire-haired pointers, Great Danes, Mastiffs, Rottweilers. From large to small, fluffy to nearly hairless, all magnificent in their own way, the best of the best on display. An Irish wolfhound caught Jack's attention, a breed he had always admired for its beauty and fearlessness. They were known to hunt wolves in packs. There were also Turkish sheepdogs. Their gigantic spiked iron anti-wolf collars displayed beside them as they got to their feet. These Anatolian shepherd dogs hid among the sheep, giving an attacking wolf a huge surprise when they bit into their iron collars. Jack had long been a dog lover, and seeing a gray poodle parade proudly across the floor made him instantly miss Eddie.
But he knew the little guy was in good hands with Tony, and he'd be home soon enough to greet him. I'll pause right now. I'm reading from the greatest novel of its time. I would call it a political novel, but it's really a thriller, Abuse of Power. Because I could see how good this is as I read it now. It's actually so good that I'm enjoying reading it. And I got to tell you, this thing about the dog show is very good. I was there last January. I love the dog show. I had to leave early because the smell got to me. I couldn't take it.
The current policies essentially create a forfeiture problem for undocumented drivers who want to take their kids to school, who want to go to work. When they get pulled over and the car is impounded for a mandatory 30 days, the average cost is over $2,000. That's not only not fair, but it's causing an undue burden and creating problems of its own. We applaud the mayor's office, we applaud the LAPD and the National Lawyers Guild for really pushing on this to create this change, because I think it will eliminate the forfeiture issue and really allow humane policies to be put in place. While there is some significant amount of racial profiling, we believe that still goes on. Other times they get pulled over for other reasons. But what we feel is not being talked about that is a significant problem is what happens when that person is pulled over. We were in the Santa Ana Detention Center last week when one of our immigration attorneys saw a man from Guatemala, 20 years here, pulled over without because of not having a license, and now is in ICE detention with a $20,000 bond. How does that help public safety to push that family into poverty?
Wow, you know how much that irritates me. Well, imagine how your throat will get this winter without Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops. That's right. I'm talking about Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops we all grew up with. They're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors. Pine Brothers has been a trusted brand since 1870. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothersyum.com.
Savage.
Lion of the Desert, old movie, 1981. It's stunning. It's an amazing film. Anthony Quinn, Oliver Reed. But the director was an Arab. I think he was Iranian, Mustafa Akkad. He was a director-producer. Phenomenal movie. Rod Steiger as Mussolini in the opening scenes is worth the entire film. The glory, the glory of the settings, you know, the imperial settings of the fascist dictatorship are fantastic to watch, just fantastic. And the dignity of his opponent in this Bedouin, this Muslim Bedouin, played by Anthony Quinn, as I said to you, Lionel, that is astounding. A guerrilla fighter, in other words, Omar Mukhtar, Anthony Quinn, who committed himself to a war that cannot be won in his lifetime, meaning he knows he can't win against the Italians. But he fights them to his death, 20 years in the hills and in the deserts. And as I, again, as I say, when they are about to hang him, when the sentence is given down to him by the guy who plays the General Rodolfo Graziani, Oliver Reed, he says, "I will outlive the hangman." He said, "Then you will have to fight my son and my son's son and then my son's son's son, because you will never occupy our land." And he said, no country has the right to occupy another country. So, you know, it so resonated in with me. This movie, I wouldn't say it changed my view of the world. I mean, I've had a pretty clear view of what's going on in the world prior to this. But the fact of the matter is that if you actually think that we're going to subdue the Afghanis and make them into happy camel burger proprietors, you know, what do you envision, a chain of camel burger stands in Afghanistan? You're going to take these tribal people who are living in a thousand years ago, you're going to turn them into Burger King, or Camel King, whatever? It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. So there's much more at stake than this democracy movement in the Middle East. I don't really believe that's it anyway. It has to do with many other geopolitical elements that we know nothing about. Oil, opium, you can name it and pretty much figure it out. But it has nothing to do, or very little to do, with bringing democracy to the Middle East, because look at what happened in Iraq. That's democracy? You call Iraq a democracy right now? Ask the Christians who are dying in Iraq if it's a democracy. You talk the Arab Spring is the spread of a democracy. Take a look. Ask the Christians in the Coptic Christians in Egypt if it's a democracy that Hillary Clinton and George Soros and Jimmy Carter and Brzezinski have instigated. So as I say to you, you know, let's look at things clearly. I don't know what we're doing there anymore. I didn't know what we were doing there 2 years ago. I said we should get out of Afghanistan, incidentally. I'm on record anyway having said that, so I'm not going to change it all of a sudden to make you think I said something else. Because it was a zero-sum game. There was no winning there. It's known as the graveyard of empires. And the fact of the matter is our empire is in such trouble right now, we don't need to be another one of the empires buried in the graveyard of Afghanistan. You know, these wars have bankrupted this country. You just analyze the cost of Iraq. How many trillions of dollars did it cost us to give the Iraqis their freedom, so-called, to liberate the Shia Muslim from the Sunni oppression? How many trillions did it cost us, and what did we get for it? Tell me what we got for it. Did they give us so much as a barrel of oil? In a previous book of mine, I called for reparations from Iraq. Bush lied when he said at the beginning of the outset of the war, rather, he said, we will get reparations in the form of oil. They didn't send us one free barrel of oil. In fact, they stabbed us in the back after they were liberated in Iraq, and they gave the first oil contracts to China. So where's the reparations? And let alone the men who came back in caskets or in pieces or lost their bodies and their souls in Iraq. We haven't gotten anything economically from those people. Why? Where's the will of our leadership to say, you know what, you owe us money, it's overdue, it's $3 trillion, and we want oil, and we're taking it, and we have the military to do it, and if you don't like it, you know what, let's meet you on the battlefield. We're just taking the oil and siphon it right out of Iraq. Get the $3 trillion that way. You want to straighten the budget out? You can do it with Mexico, too. Mexico has the fourth largest oil reserve on the planet, the last I checked. It can be piped across the border. Why don't we demand reparations for the high social costs that the illegals have leveled upon us for the last 20 years? You want an equation? There's an equation. One barrel of oil for each illegal per year. There you go. You want a budget deficit straightened out? Now, Michael Savage, plain talking, plain thinking. Okay, I understand what needs to be done, but there's no political ability to do any of this because by the time you wind up in a position of Senate, at the Senate level, you're already so compromised, there's no way to ever hear a word of truth come out of them. Which brings me back to the radio show. After all, I'm not a politician. I'm only a radio talk show host. This is only one man's opinion. You've got to understand that. And many stations don't like very heated dialogue anymore. They're afraid of it. They want something much more moderate in tone. They want something that's more, easy listening. Easy listening. No criticism of the government. No criticism of Obama. Look the other way, strap on your rose-colored glasses, you know what I'm saying? Well, I can't help it. I'm too far into this to become somebody else. And I know that I represent the mind of the American people, especially those who listen to talk radio. I mean, I could ask you a question right now, and, you know, I can get your answers. Do you want me to become a more mellow Mike? You want me to become a more mellow talk show host? I could do that. Would you like FM Bob? I can do the old FM Bob that I used to do. Hey, you got the waterbed music. I can give him the FM Bob. Anybody got that? Doesn't matter. Well, whatever you want me to do. I mean, I'm at your disposal here. I'm not a tissue, but I'm here to entertain you, educate you. Desafinato. Play Desafinato. Desafinato. Okay, here it is. Set me up. Let me get my mind into this FM Bob. Hello, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation. This is the new Michael Savage. The new Michael Savage who is no longer inflamed by what's going on politically. We're here simply to give you a nice, easy listening experience. You're going to hear nothing but good things about our government. You're going to hear how good Dick Durbin is, and you're going to hear how wonderful Dianne Feinstein is and Dick Blum, her husband, and how they put America first. You're going to hear nothing but good about the president and how he needs a vacation in Martha's Vineyard. And the next time the first lady takes another trip, you're not going to hear a word out of my mouth about the extravagant costs
or the high number of personnel who attend to her like she's a queen. You're going to hear nothing but the statements that the First Lady needs that trip to Africa or to Portugal or to Spain. And ladies and gentlemen, the reason I'm doing it is because I want you to be happy with me. I want you to feel good about the Savage Nation. In fact, I want you to feel only good things about the government and about the president and about the Senate. Because I, too, am an American, and as an American, I'd like their ratings to go up. I'd like the president to be loved, not to be looked askance by anyone. And so when the president gives a speech to a group of Muslims, and he says things such as, Muslim Americans help keep us safe, I will not remind you of Major Nadal Hassan, who committed the atrocity of the Fort Hood massacre. Or when the president, at the same speech, says that Islam has always been part of our American family, I would be the last to criticize the president, for who am I to criticize a man as brilliant as he, with such a distinguished background? Who am I, a little kid from the Bronx, who grew up in an immigrant family, to know any more than this man who was born, well, somewhere on the earth, to a distinguished family, with such a loving, loving background, and with such a great love for America, a man who sat in a preacher's a house of worship for so many years, hearing how evil America was and how it disrespected minorities and how we should hate America. He must know what he's doing. He must know very much what he's doing. And so as I say, as we draw this segment to a close, this is Michael Savage in the new mellow voice. You will never hear another voice of contention coming from this speaker again. Yeah, right, okay. You just had your fantasy moment. Yeah, I could do that. So if that's what you want, I'll give you that.
Savage.
Every day we see Obama taking more and more power. Some are calling him a dictator. Step by step towards a dictatorship. And many of us don't know which side he's really on. Most alarmingly, there are a few different reports coming out stating that Iran is building a military base in Venezuela. But the Obama administration denies these reports. Joining us right now in the Savage Nation to talk about this story is CBN terrorism and national security analyst Eric Stackelback. Eric, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, great to talk to you.
Well, give us an overview to this. Is it a rumor? Is there any truth to it?
Well, Michael, this is a story that's been floating around for several months now. Now, it first appeared in a leading German daily newspaper called Die Welt. It's one of the top newspapers in Germany, and what they said, they laid it out in shocking detail, very detailed story, very in-depth intelligence sources saying, look, Iran has plans to build a missile base in Venezuela, specifically on the Paraguana Peninsula. Now, that's right on Venezuela's western border, right along the border with Colombia, if you know South America at all. So what that would do, if this is indeed true, is it would give Iran a missile base in South America, in our backyard. So much for the Monroe Doctrine. Iran would have a missile base where they could target the Panama Canal, for instance. They could target population centers in southern Florida. We know Iran is making or working on long-range missiles. They already have medium-range missiles. They're working on long-range missiles that could absolutely, from a base in Venezuela, strike many locations in the continental United States. And of course, if Iran continues on their current trajectory, Michael, those missiles, not very long from now, would be nuclear tipped. So we have a potential Cuban Missile Crisis type scenario developing in our backyard. This news has been around for a few months now. As I said, it was first broke in one of Germany's leading daily newspapers. The Obama administration denies it. They says there's no legs to this story. The Venezuelan government, of course, which is heavily in bed, Hugo Chavez, heavily in bed with the Iranians, says no way, this isn't true. But I'll tell you, Michael, this fits. I've been following this Latin American threat, the Iran Hezbollah activities in Latin America, for about 2 or 3 years now. This fits with a pattern. Iran and Hezbollah are spreading their tentacles from Mexico all the way down to Argentina, throughout Latin America, and especially the hub of this relationship is with Venezuela. Ahmadinejad, Hugo Chavez, good buddies. Now, Hugo Chavez has cancer right now, from what I'm told by Latin American sources. It's pretty serious, his cancer. But as long as he's living, that relationship with Iran will continue to be strengthened. He's a socialist. The Iranians are Islamic jihadists, but the enemy of my enemy is my friend. They will work together against their common enemy, America.
What is the relationship between Hezbollah, Iran, and Venezuela?
You know, Michael, this relationship has been blossoming with Venezuela. Number one, there's two facets to this. You have Iran, you have Hezbollah. Number one, let's talk about Iran. And you can't talk about Hezbollah, by the way, without talking about Iran, because Hezbollah is literally an arm of the Iranian regime, created by, paid for, supported, armed by Iran. They're one and the same. It's a hand and a glove. So wherever Iran goes, Hezbollah goes. Well, Iran is increasingly in Latin America. Here's the first facet of this relationship. Here's a number for you, Michael. Actually, the best way to start, I think, is throwing out this number, which I think is shocking. Prior to the year 2005, Iran and Venezuela, their amount of trade was zero, none. Since 2005, in the past 6 or 7 years alone, Iran and Venezuela have done over $40 billion in trade. That is astounding. So their trade, their ties went from nothing to really, they are each other's, practically each other's largest trading partner now. We see continuous diplomatic trips, Hugo Chavez to Tehran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and leading Iranian officials to Caracas. We see public shows of support for each other. We see not only is Iran spreading its web in Venezuela, but with other left-wing socialist dictatorships in Latin America, Iran is spreading tentacles there in places like Bolivia, Nicaragua, where there's also hard-left Chavez allies in power. But Venezuela is the linchpin of that relationship. It's no surprise. You know, around 2004, 2005 is when Hugo Chavez of Venezuela really started to up his rhetoric against America, and he has shown a willingness to work with anybody who's anti-American, whether they're Islamic jihadists, they're hardcore socialists. Chavez will work with them to weaken America. That's his goal. So that's the first facet of this relationship, Michael. The second part, real quick, Hezbollah, which is Iran's proxy. They do Iran's dirty work in Latin America. Hezbollah, believe it or not, the Lebanon-based Islamic terrorist militia, Hezbollah, has been active in our hemisphere since at least the mid-1980s. And, Michael, the center of their activity is a place called the Tri-Border Region. Now, that's a lawless, Wild West-type area in South America where Brazil, Paraguay, and Argentina meet. The three countries, their borders intersect. It's called the Tri-Border Region. Anything goes down there, the trafficking, bootlegging, smuggling. It's a lawless area, and Hezbollah has set up shop there. They use the Tri-Border Region as a base to raise money. They will work with drug cartels to raise money. They send it back to Lebanon to fund terrorist operations to kill Jewish women and children in Israel. That's Hezbollah's main activity in Latin America. And real quick, Michael, they have also conducted terror attacks from this tri-border region. Back in 1992, 1994, Hezbollah conducted, at Iran's behest, Hezbollah conducted deadly terrorist attacks in Argentina. They struck the Israeli embassy there in Buenos Aires and also a Jewish community center. They killed hundreds of people, and they used the tri-border region as their base to plan those attacks. So this is a long-standing problem in our backyard.
What impact is this having on the drug war?
You know, Michael, to me, this is one of the most disturbing aspects of this whole story. Now, a few months ago, and you and I discussed this on the show, we had this Iranian plot that was exposed to kill the Saudi ambassador, the Israeli ambassador here in Washington, D.C., where I'm sitting, blow up the embassies, and the Iranians were going to use Mexican drug cartels to carry out these attacks. Well, we're seeing more and more cooperation between Hezbollah, according to people in Congress who I've interviewed. We're seeing more cooperation between Hezbollah and these Mexican drug cartels. They point to two things. Number one, Mexican drug cartels, all of a sudden, over the past 2 years or so, have been using IEDs, improvised explosive devices. Now, that's the kind of weapon you see in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Beirut. They're using IEDs. Number two, their drug smuggling tunnels are so complex that they closely resemble Hezbollah's smuggling tunnels in southern Lebanon. So lawmakers I've spoken to have pointed to those two things, Michael, and said, look, we think Hezbollah may very well be helping these Mexican drug cartels to develop IEDs, smuggling tunnels. And if they're working with them in that regard, Michael, what is to stop these Mexican drug cartels, whose only allegiance is to the almighty dollar, what is to stop them from transiting Hezbollah operatives right over that porous Mexican border and into the United States? We've had cases of it happening already. Hezbollah operatives coming up through the southern border and positioning themselves in America. And just last year, Michael, we had a leading Hezbollah operative in Mexico busted for trying to establish a major Hezbollah network in Mexico. This is going to come back to bite us if we don't acknowledge it.
Well, what should the administration be doing about this, if anything?
Well, first of all, the Obama administration, and I don't anticipate this, needs to acknowledge, yes, there is a problem. They have said nothing about the Iranian-Venezuelan axis. They've said nothing about the clear Hezbollah presence south of the border. In fact, they've downplayed, and Department of Justice, Homeland Security, have downplayed the possibility of Hezbollah working with these Mexican drug cartels. But I think the first thing, look, get a handle on the border, for God's sake, secure our southern border. Number two, obviously work with Mexican authorities to try and nip this in the bud and make sure no Hezbollah influence infiltrates into Mexico on our southern border. And number three, Michael, look, put more pressure on Venezuela. Hugo Chavez is a bad, bad man. He's got training grounds for terrorists in Venezuela. In my story for CBN, I lay this out, very credible Latin American sources. The guy's got Hezbollah people on his soil. He's got Iran. Obviously, he's completely in bed with Iran. This is a very bad guy in our backyard, and he's involved even in the drug smuggling trade. Chavez is involved. He's benefiting from drug smuggling as well. So this is a very bad guy, really a threat to America's national security. I know he comes off as a buffoonish clown at the UN and in certain venues, but he's a dangerous guy with very dangerous friends who wish to see our destruction, and we need to take him very seriously.
Eric Stackelbeck, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Michael, always great to talk to you, and you can check out my blog, Stackelbeck on Terror, at cbnnews.com. You can also pick up my book, The Terrorist Next Door, How the Government is Deceiving You About the Islamist Threat. I have an entire chapter on the Iran threat in there, and we get into this Latin American story. Thanks again.
This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
The economy's so bad, how come the restaurants are so full? I don't understand that. If the economy is so bad, how come the restaurants are packed? The roads are full of new cars. People are on vacation already. How does this work? I don't know. What is there, like two societies that I'm living in? Do you want me to read from the Political Zoo being sarcastic or satirizing politicians and media figures? Because most of you never heard of the book. Or you want me to do something else? It's open mic to Mike at the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Really, I'll work for you. We'll work for food. We'll work for you. We'll work for food. And in the Political Zoo, the satire of these various figures, I satirize Boxer Bush, Jimmy Carter, James Carville, Hugo Chavez, Dick Cheney, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, George Clooney, Katie Coran Couric, Maureen Dowd, Dianne Feinstein, Newt Gingrich, Ruth Gator Ginsburg, Rudy Giuliani. Where is he, by the way? How come he hasn't thrown his glasses in the ring? Al Gore, Jesse Jackson, Kim Jong-il, John Kerry, Larry King, Rush Limbaugh, Bill Maher, John McCain, Bill O'Reilly. That's why he never forgave me. It's why I'm banned on Fox News. He has the worst
temper in the entire media, according to people who know him. The meanest of all of them is O'Reilly. No humor whatsoever. I mean, they claim liberals have no humor. This guy has never forgiven me for a few things I said about him. All I do is call him a leprechaun. Big deal, Bill. Sheesh, Bill. All I said was lecherous leprechaunus. I mean, what was so bad about that, Bill? Bill O'Reilly was known as top mammal in the Fox News pundit cage, the American porcupine, being a large terrestrial rodent well protected by its prickly exterior. Ooh. And his Latin binomial was lecherus leprechaunus. When challenged, it erects its quills, swings its stout tail, and threatens to release the barb tips into challenger's skin. Known for its grunting or groaning delivery, the porcupine is active mainly at night and is found occasionally on televisions in the sagebrush plains of the West. Also, according to legal filings that were settled, the American porcupine will occasionally try to find cable station staff willing to play games like Fetch the Loofah as part of its bizarre mating ritual. So that's why you never see Michael Savage on, you know, that talk show. They bring up talk shows you never heard of. Never Michael. It doesn't matter anymore. I'm too far advanced in my career for it to matter. So you could see why the O'Reilly factor runs the station. But until then, a word of warning to all you ladies out there in the Savage Nation, I wrote. If you phone O'Reilly's show during porcupine mating season, which lasts from about January to December, do your best to sound like Janet Reno, avoid the subjects of Greek food and cleansing devices, and above all, steer clear of the porcupine's biggest turn-on, namely himself. Oh! A porcupine in heat is a dangerous beast. If he loves you, you'll be able to count the ways. If he loves you, I haven't read this in years. If he loves you, you'll be able to count the ways. In fact, you'll be able to count them by the thousands while you pluck them the morning after. Oh, come on, Bill. Have a sense of humor. Don't be like Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton. Nancy Pelosi was known as, let's see, leftist irrationalis. Nancy Pelosi, leftist irrationalis. With its large beak and small head, the distempered rainbow parakeet. Ooh. The distempered rainbow parakeet caws with great frequency and volume, yet lacks mental capacity to emit anything original or intelligent. Fortunately, the bird has developed an adaptation that helps it to cope with this problem. The beak's large upper mandible is notched for its little bird foot to fit in. Decked with bright blue plumage, the female of the species mates for life, usually with strong and crafty males, capable of building large nests and stashing a surplus of fruits and nuts therein. Not only does this preserve the pair from want, but also frees the female to spend nearly all of its waking hours bobbing through the jungle, screeching at any animals not of its flock, and pretending to care about those that have no nests and food at all. Although its original habitat was Maryland, the breed has since migrated to the San Francisco Bay Area, where it aggressively climbed the political pecking order. Today it can be found both in California and Washington, D.C., chirping away mindlessly in either environ. Curiously, aside from its lower-than-average intelligence, the parakeet suffers from one prominent congenital disability. It is only capable of flapping about in circles, primarily because it is born with only a left wing. Nobody has ever written anything better than this, political satire in our time. Sean Penn, pesky apologista. Native to the left coast, the big-beaked toucan is a colorful and perpetually ill-tempered bird of paradise, born and bred in the protected environs of Hollywood. But unlike most toucans, this one is strangely compelled to migrate to war zones and disaster areas. While adverse to the glare of flashbulbs, hence the bird's notoriety for striking out at photographers, the big-beaked toucan can deftly mimic the dove when in front of television news cameras. This particular breed of toucan gets its name from its decidedly large beak, perfect for tracking down bad scripts and sticking that giant proboscis where it doesn't belong. Not bad. Sean Penn, the toucan tough guy, has a long history of appearances in cinema. It's pretty good. I'm not going to read it all to you. Yes or no? Keep it up or not? What would you like to hear? Houston, Texas. Jared, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, who do you like?
Well, they're all, none of them are living.
Oh, gosh. I mean, if you do the zoo... And you had to identify...
Wait a minute. See, this is an interesting question. Must I like any of the Republican candidates? Is it a requirement?
No. But there's got to be someone...
So, in other words, I'm a commentator. Remember that. I'm only a commentator. And my job is to be a pain in the... You know what?
for the political class. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're on. That's my job. Now, the truth is 80% of the criminals are Democrats. 20% of them are Republicans, and they're all bad in that regard. But that doesn't mean I have to give one group a pass because they're not Democrats. The Democrats are virtually all corrupt. Every one of them is a corrupt socialist. Without exception, I don't know of a single exception. With Republicans, there's probably, I don't know, a good percentage of them who are honest men. But a lot of them are louts, total louts and criminals, just like their Democrat colleagues, which is why nothing changes in Washington, which is a good thing, actually. It's actually a good thing because more or less the restaurants are still full. People are going away for vacation. Most of us could go around without guns in our hand. And so, you see, we almost had an insurrection in America. Don't tell me it's Iowa again. I can't take it. First of all, I never met anyone from Iowa. That's number one. How do they know what's going to... Why do I care what a bunch of fat farmers in Iowa think about the election? How did this happen? This goes back to the 18th century when Iowa was important. I don't understand how they get away with this. Hundreds of years later, they're telling us that a few obese farmers in a diner in Iowa... You ever see those people? They're going to tell me who's going to be the next president, and if they can, what does that tell you about the election? If a few fat farmers in Iowa can predict who's going to be the next president, what does that tell you about the government you have? Everything.
Savage.